My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
There is no greater joy or no greater privilege in all the world than the privilege of being a Christian. As I think about passages in the Scripture that are compelling and that remind us of the joy of Christianity, I'm reminded of the very first mentioning of the word Christian in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. The Bible says they were called simply Christians first in Antioch. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:16, if anybody suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. It is an honor and a privilege to wear the name Christian. And then the third mention of the word, saddest probably in all the Bible, Acts 26, verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost you persuade me to become a Christian." Friends, I want us to ponder the question this morning, why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Why did you obey the gospel of Christ? What is it that motivated you to wear that name, Christian? As you think in your own mind about that question, let's consider for just a moment some wrong reasons to wear the name Christian. Maybe someone felt pressure from their family, maybe pressure from a spouse, pressure from parents to become a Christian, and so out of family duty, they obeyed the gospel. Friend, you've not yet become a Christian if that's the only motivating factor to which you did that. For Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 37, "He who does not love father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." If I only did it to make my family happy or to make my wife or my husband happy, friend, that's not a reason biblically to become a Christian. Maybe someone became a Christian because it was the popular thing to do. Friend, again, that's not a biblical reason. Exodus 23:2 says, we're not to follow a crowd in any way. Matthew 7:13 and 14 teaches us that the popular way, the populous road, is the road that leads to eternal destruction. Maybe somebody became a Christian because they thought that was the lifestyle that would make them wealthy. Boy, were they in for a surprise. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 does teach, we have riches given to be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and men will put it back into our bosom. But those mostly are spiritual blessings, blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And so I ask you this morning, why are you a Christian? Why did you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's think about some motivating factors in the Scripture as to why maybe a person did obey the gospel of Christ. Number one, I am a Christian because of God's amazing love for me. Friend, I can promise you this morning, nobody has ever loved you like God loves you. To Israel, who had been rebellious and whose heart had been hardened, God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Those same people who went up on the mountaintop and worshiped idols, God said, I still love you, and I've loved you with an everlasting love. Now, were there changes to be made? Absolutely. But that does not deny the fact no one ever loved Israel like God loved them. And friend, no one's ever loved you the way God loves you. I know that, for the Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God, He is the epitome of love. God is love. And God loves me. And God loves you deeply. Oh, how I love the words of 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Such a beautiful and tender passage. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him. Why? He cares for you. The God of heaven cares for me, and He cares deeply for you. He loves me, and He loves you deeply. And so as I think about why become a child of God, why become a Christian? Because of God's love for each one of us. But now, let's think about how has that love been manifested toward me? It's not simply just enough to say, God loves me and God loves you. How do I know God loves me? How can I know God loves you? Friend, the most compelling evidence of God's love is this fact. God sent His Son to die for me and you when we were the vilest of sinners. When we had disobeyed God, when we had stabbed God in the back, when the world was lost in sin and headed down the road to hell, God intervened with love and sent His Son to die as a sacrifice for us. I believe one of the most beautiful pictures of God's love is seen in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says this, "While we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Now think about this. "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man some might dare to die." Now listen. "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When we were sinners, when we were unlovely, when we were without God and without hope in this life, God intervened in love to save each and every one of us. The Bible teaches us that it was Jesus who was that sacrifice for our sin. You want to talk about love? Listen to these words. "God so loved the world, He gave." Gave what? "Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friend, you won't find a more beautiful picture of the love of God than Him giving His Son. Now, when we talk about gave, what do we mean? Jesus left the glory of heaven. John 17:3. "He came to this earth and died a horrible death for me and you." You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich." Look at what Jesus gave up. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, "Let the mind of Christ be in you." That mind which humbled itself, became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. You talk about the love of God, listen carefully. God not only sent His Son to this world. He not only loved me and you so much, He sent His Son to this world, but God allowed Him to suffer a horrible death for me and you. Jesus was beaten. He was mocked. He was spit upon. Stripes were laid on His back over and over again. He was hung to a cruel cross, and He hung there in agony, striving for every breath, trying to suffer to take every breath. And He died and said, "It is finished." God's wondrous plan was finished on the cross. Why am I a Christian? I'm a Christian because of God's love seen clearly through the sacrifice of Jesus. I'm a Christian by God's love because of the forgiveness of sins. Oh, one of the most beautiful passages is often a passage we think about concerning what must I do to be saved. But it tells so much more than that. Acts 2, verse 37, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The answer was clear. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ," listen to this, "for the remission of sins." Friend, I'm a Christian because God has promised to wipe away all my past sins, to erase the chalkboard with all the things, bad things I've done, they're gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Listen, "Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new." God says in Hebrews 8, verse 13, "I'll be merciful to their sins and their lawless deeds. I'll remember no more." What do you mean, remember no more, God? God says in Micah 7, verses 18 and 19, "I'll cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Friend, did you know the sea is 6 miles deep in some places? Were you to drop a penny down there, what's the chance of you finding that? If God casts all our sins into the depths of the sea, do you see the picture that my sin and yours can no longer hurt us? The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 10, "The Lord has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." I didn't get what I deserved. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Lamentations 3, verses 20 and 21. And oh, how I love the words of Psalm 130. verses 3 and 4. If you, O Lord, were to mark iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I'm a Christian because of God's love in the fact that though I'd messed up, though I'd made mistakes, though I deserve because of my sin to be lost, God is a forgiving God and has wiped that away. Thirdly, I can see God's love because of His providential care for me and for you. As a child of God, I want you to stop and think about this. If you've lived faithfully as a child of God, I want you to think about your own life. Just take a minute to take a panorama of your life and ask this question. How many times as a faithful child of God have you gone hungry? Have you not had a place to sleep? Have you not had warm clothes to put on? Have you not been provided with the necessities of this life? Isn't that what God promises? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no shadow or variation of turning. James 1:17. Jesus said, if you seek first my kingdom, what's going to happen? All these things, food, shelter, and clothing, are going to be provided for you. Philippians 4:19, Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. In Christ, I am promised, and I can look at my life, and you can look at yours and see, God has always, He has always loved me and taken care of me. Can't you say what David said? David said, I was young, and now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. How do I know God loves me? Friend, I've never had to stand on a street corner and beg for food. Have I had T-bone steak every night? That's not what I'm saying. That's not what we're talking about. But have we been provided for? Absolutely, and that's proof of God's love. Now, how does that tie into the idea of why I'm a Christian? Friend, I want you to open your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, and I want you to see that it's this amazing love of God that ought to motivate us to want to live a Christian life and to be faithful unto Him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and rose again. What is it that when I think about God's love, it makes me want to do? Friend, it compels me. It compels me to die to self, to say to myself, Ben, this life is no longer about you. It's no longer about what you want or what you feel or what you think. You've got to be compelled by the love of God to die to self and live for Christ every day. Paul did this. Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Friend, if I really say to myself, I'm by the love of God going to live for Christ, here's what that means. Paul said, I beg you, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice.